Let's look in 1 John, that is the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 20th century translation says, love comes from God, and all who love have derived their life from God and are learning to know Him. Cotton Patch says, every lover has been fathered by God and is sensitive to God. Is getting to know God, is sensitive to God, are learning to know God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth, or is getting to know God, is becoming acquainted with God, is getting to understand God, is becoming sensitive to God. You see, just like becoming a parent is a way that you can then begin to understand how your parents feel about you, so as you begin to walk in love and experience love, you begin to realize what God's attitude is toward you more. You begin to realize that God is not telling you to do something that He hasn't already tried, that's tested and proven. And God has proven over, we don't know how long a period of time, but it's been a long time, God has proven to His own satisfaction, I'm sure, that divine love is the best way. And so He doesn't suggest, because He knows what's right, and so He doesn't have to say, like if you came to me for advice, I could probably, you might hear me say something, well, I think maybe that might be good, or I might suggest that. Because I don't know, I don't have absolute knowledge, but God does. So God can just say unequivocally, you know what I meant, but I didn't say it, He can just say flat out, this is the way. This is the best way. So do this. God doesn't have to say, well, you have three choices and I'm not sure which would be the best. God can say, this is the one. This is the way. This is the best. Do this. So if we realize that when God gives us commandments, that it's not just so He can boss people around, but it's because He knows what's best. And He's telling us, He's sharing with us secrets. They would be secret if He didn't tell it to us, because we wouldn't know otherwise. So we're getting to know what God has known all along. And we're getting to understand God better as we walk in love. For love is of God. This divine love is of God. He doesn't ask us to do what He hasn't tried and is now practicing. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, or is becoming more acquainted with God, is getting to understand God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'm sure the devil is interested in us disobeying God. I'm sure the devil is interested in keeping us from acting on God's instruction. Because if we act on the truth, it's going to bring blessing, it's going to bring freedom, it's going to bring good, isn't it? If we don't act on it, what's going to happen? Well, it's kind of like if you've got a table set filled with food, and if you're laying on the couch, if you act and get up and go sit down at the table and make the effort of sticking the fork in and putting it in your mouth, you're going to receive nourishment. If you just lay over there and take a nap, you're not going to get anything, are you? And that's the way it is. If we will follow God's instructions, things are going to go good for us. God in His Word promises us that they will. But the reverse of that has to be true. If we don't follow the instructions, we can't expect things to work. Some of you may may buy some kind of put together toy or gadget of some kind for somebody this Christmas, and you have the instructions and it says connect A to B and stick C and in here, and if you follow the directions, usually it'll work, right? If you don't follow the instructions, you may be hopelessly lost. Now, that's only a partially good example, because humans are subject to error, and so they may make a mistake in the instructions, or they make the instructions not very plain. But God is perfect, and He hasn't made a mistake in His instructions, and the Holy Spirit is able to make the instructions of God plain, the Scripture says, so plain that even a fool can't err therein. You know, it's not, Christianity is not just real, real difficult to get a hold of. Any little child can understand what we need to understand. It's those of us that are so smart that have to work at understanding it, and to where we just believe what it says, because that's all it takes. And it's not that difficult. Oh, there are things that we learn more and more as we walk with God. We just like living with a person for a number of years, you get better acquainted. But God's Word is clear, if we'll just believe it. In John, the 13th chapter, Jesus said in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A new commandment I give to you." Most of us don't really rejoice when someone starts bossing us around. We don't really like somebody giving us commands. That's really more modern language. We don't like somebody commanding us to do something, do we? Your children, no doubt, you tell them to do this, tell them to do that. Now, if you've trained them good, they shouldn't be complaining, so forth. They should rejoice, but they may not be quite trained perfectly yet. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Well, maybe they shouldn't rejoice, but at least they shouldn't be too upset about it. But you can't expect just the natural person, that's what I'm saying, just in the natural, we don't appreciate somebody else telling us what to do, do we? And I think that carries over to people's attitude of God, really. But you got to realize that God is on a different level. God is in a different area. And we can't treat Him just the way we would someone else. I know that, don't tell my wife this, somebody plug her ears, I am human and I could make it. So the advice I give to her, and I usually have plenty of advice, the advice I give for her might not be right. I could make a mistake. I could tell her to do something, and I could be telling her the wrong thing. Okay, you can unplug her ears now. But God is different. God is different. God is totally selfless. Now, maybe you're there, but I haven't got there yet. I still am concerned about myself. Of course, you're probably not. But most of the time with my wife, I'm not just 100% concerned about her. Well, I'm also remembering, well, I'm in this deal too, you know. And so my thinking and all that may be colored by what's good for me as well as what's good for her. But God's not like that. God's not having to worry about Himself. He's already got it made. God's not having to think, now, how am I going to fare in this? I better remember to put God first. I'm talking about God saying I better put Him, God first. He doesn't have to think that. He's putting you first. He's putting the other person first. And he's only interested in helping you. He doesn't need the help. He's already doing fine. And he has found, obviously, he has, that's maybe not a good way to put it, because that could give you the idea, well, like maybe he'd lost it and now he's found it. But God knows and has experienced and believes that this is really the best way to operate. That it's really the highest way to operate. Now think about it. God could do whatever he wanted to, couldn't he? He doesn't lack the power, does he? He doesn't lack the resources. He could do and live however he pleased. Don't you think that he is going to want to do it the best way possible? I mean, look, if you were God and you had to live zillions of years, you had to live forever, would you want to live in misery all of forever? Well, he's already been living a long time. You think he's having to struggle to walk in love? Do you think he's having to every day get out? Oh, oh, dear God, and praise to himself, I guess. I don't know. Do you think that he's having to, oh, you know, oh, it's so hard just to love those people, but oh, somebody help me out there. If there's anybody else out there, help me. Well, that's a little stupid, but we don't think it's stupid for us, do we? We don't think it's not a bit stupid when it applies to us, because we probably used to doing that. Oh, God, help me. I know I'm supposed to love that person, but oh, God, help me. I just don't know if I want to do it or not. Now, when we put it in that way, it doesn't seem so ludicrous and silly, does it? Of course, maybe it's not that way for you, but I know some of the other people that aren't here and myself that sometimes it just doesn't seem to come so easy to really walk in love. It's just a lot easier just to fly off the handle and to just tell them what you think and give them a piece of your mind. And isn't it? It just seems like it can be easy to do that. Like it might be like it's a struggle to go this way. It's a struggle to do it. Of course, we realize that there are other forces at work in this world besides God, and they're the ones that want us to go that direction. But here's the important thing that I'd like you to see is that God isn't having to struggle with it. God is completely convinced. And I believe that if we could see that, if we could, as this is said, beginning to understand God, if we can see that and see he's not having a struggle with it, we'd have less of a struggle with it. Once we are totally convinced that love is the best way, that we'd be much more apt to walk in that direction. Is that right? I mean, once you make a decision, once you decide you're thinking about making an investment, whether you got $20 or $20 million, you're thinking about making an investment. Maybe it's just an investment in a Christmas present, and you're not sure whether to get this or to get that, to go this way or to go that way. But then you decide, and then if you got enough information on one thing, let's say that you were trying to buy some kind of a consumer product, and you weren't sure what brand to get. You weren't sure what kind was the best. Well, you call up every single store or visit every single store, and every single one of them, over and over and over, they all say this one product. They all name the same one. You read the consumer's report. You read the magazine review articles, and they all say this is the best. This is the best. They all name the same one. Pretty soon you would get to where you wouldn't hesitate at all. You would take your money and you would go out and buy it. You would go out and put it into that thing, wouldn't you? And we would do the same thing with our lives and our actions. We would put them in love. We would direct them by love. when we're convinced that that's the best way to do it, won't we? If we're not convinced it's the best way, well, then we may still be choosing between options. Let's see, do I want a Motorola or a Zenith or a Quasar? And that's the way it is when we're in the situations, human situations in life. We may not stop and think about it, but we might too. We might think, now, do I want to hit her in the mouth or do I want to forgive her? And we weigh the options. Well, I sure feel like hitting her. God told me, though, to forgive. See, if we knew, if we had enough information, had enough understanding from God, what was the best, well, then we wouldn't have to stop and think about that. But we've got to be convinced first. We've got to have the confidence that that really is the best way. There are several ways you can go about this. You can go on your own experience. That's one way. You need to live a long time to do this. But you can just go your own way and be mean and nasty and dirty and rotten and selfish for 40 or 50 years or 60, 70, 80 years, however long you last, if you last that long, and try it. You can try that and just see how it works out and how you feel on the inside and how things work out for you. You can try that. And then try the other way. That's one way of finding out. We call that trial and error. But we don't live very long. And if we try the wrong thing first and we get into the error, boy, it could just ruin us. You know, a lot of things are unrecoverable from. I'm not saying that if you've got some disease, you can't recover from it. I'm saying you can make mistakes as a human being in the earth, but that's all she wrote. That's the end of it. You get your head blowed off. You depart. There are some things that aren't reversible, really. So you can't really afford to make a mistake. I mean, we desire to have the best. We desire to live in the best. We desire to enjoy life to its fullest. None of us really want to just live a life of misery and live life at its worst. And so we really need some help in this. And what better help than God? Now, we've got others in the Bible that we can look to, but God is the main one. And God has been around, and God has had to put up with. You don't know what all God has had to put up with. You think your husband is bad. You ought to see some of the people around the earth that God has to put up with. He has to put up with every one of them. Every liar, every cheat, every murder, every pervert. God has had to put up with millions of those, no, billions of them, through ages and ages of years. And God is determined and hasn't sent us a revision. God hasn't had to revise the Bible. It's all right to have modern languages, and that's not God revising the Bible. That's us revising the translation. There's a difference between retranslating something and revising something. Well, you know what I mean anyway. God has never had to revise the Bible. God hasn't had to come along and say, wait a minute, right here after World War II, I have changed my mind. I'm gonna have to put an addendum into the Bible. I just see some of these things just aren't going to work. No, God is committed. He's sure. He doesn't have to, when he's faced with a decision, he doesn't have to hesitate and think, well, should I hit him in the mouth or which way should I go? He doesn't have to do that because he knows that love is the best way. He knows it by experience. He's proven it. He's walked in it. And he's trying to get us to walk with him. If we do not walk in love, well, then we're not going to walk with God because God is committed to walking in love. And if we're going to walk somewhere else, well, he's not going to say, well, wait a minute, don't run away. Don't leave me. I'll come on down there with you. No, no. God's committed to the best. Just like Jesus, we just a few chapters over here in John, he was talking about some things, preaching to the people. It was a little hard for them to grasp. And the crowds left him. They left him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the crowds leaving Jesus? I mean, even after they'd seen miracles and such, he preached some things that were so difficult for them to accept that they all left. They said, we're going to go get us another preacher. And what did Jesus do? Oh, well, let's have a council meeting here, Peter and John. What are we going to do? We've got to get out some new advertising. The people have left. Where are we going to get the money to pay the payroll this month? Oh, Peter, I know your wife. Boy, if you don't get paid, she is really going to be in a dither with her mother-in-law there at home egging her on. What are we going to do? Let's have a meeting. Let's get together on this. Jesus didn't do that. He just turned to his disciples. And the Bible says, he said, are you leaving too? God is just kind of like that. We could call it hard-headed. That is, that he's not subject to change. He's determined what's the best way, and that's the way he's going. And that's the same direction he'll be going tomorrow and the next day and the next week. And if you decide to go that way, that's fine. If you don't, are you going to leave too? You going to go your own way or are you going to go with me? We have a choice. We can either walk with God or we can just go our own way. Now, it seems to me that if we stop long enough to think about this and think, well, how smart is God? How much experience has God had? How long has he been around? Things are hard or easy depending a lot on your attitude. It really makes a difference on the way that you see things. Now let's take money for example. Let's say if I came up to you or somebody came up to you and they said, I need $20. Now let's say, let's make it a little higher than that. Let's make it, I need $1,000 or $500. We'll decide here in a minute. Somebody comes up to you and says, I need $500. Give me $500, please. You might very easily say, well, I don't have $500. Sorry. But if somebody that you really trusted, I'm not talking about just some outside con artist, but somebody that you really trusted came to you in one of two ways. Either one of your family members had to have it to keep from getting their head chopped off, literally. Could you come up with $500? Sure you could. Every person in here could come up with it. If your life depended on it, or the life of one of your close loved ones, couldn't you? You might not have had money to buy groceries this week, but I guarantee if your life depended on it, you could come up with $500, couldn't you? You would, wouldn't you? And the same way, let's take another example there. Somebody, and it was absolutely guaranteed, positive, no question about it. If you could come up with $500 to invest, that a week from now you get $1,000 back. Could you come up with it then? You'd come up with it, wouldn't you? If you knew, I'm not just talking about somebody come on and made some promises, but you knew if you could come up with $500 now, a week from today, you get $1,000 back. You'd come up with it, wouldn't you? You'd come up with it. Some way you'd come up with it. Now what made the difference?
The only difference was just the way you saw it. That's all. In one instance, you think, I can't come up with $20. I don't have $20. But you didn't see it as that important. You didn't see it as that good of a deal, did you? But when you saw it as a good deal, either, well, I'm going to live, or one of my loved ones is going to live because of this, and it's a good deal for us to live, so it's worth it, or I'm going to make a bunch of money doing this, and you're convinced the way you see things has a great amount of effect on the way things seem. What I'm saying is that you might think, well, man, it's really tough to come up with $20. But if there was great promise there, if you knew that tomorrow you'd get $1,000 back, it wouldn't seem so tough to come up with it, would it? I dare say that you wouldn't mind driving halfway through the night to go get the money, would you? You wouldn't mind staying up half the night, maybe even all night. You'd be excited. You'd be working. How can we do this? Let's get our heads together. Let's plan. Well, what about this? And you wouldn't get exhausted so easy because you'd be excited. You'd have something that you knew was good, and you'd be interested in it, and it'd excite you. What's the difference? The difference is only in the way that you perceive it. That's all. And that's what I'm trying to do today, is to get you to change your perception of life and the love walk. If you perceive it just as a commandment God's given, and if you're going to be a good little Christian, well, you've got to walk in love. It's going to be hard to come up with the 20 cents, let alone $20. But if you realize, hey, I have been let into a secret here that God knows. If I want to live life on its highest, if I'd like to be just full of joy and just satisfied with life, if I'd like to have everything go great, here's a key, here's a secret. If this is the best way to walk, right down here. If you see it that way, it's going to be a different approach, isn't it? And then, instead of becoming a burden, oh, dear me, they kick me in the mouth again, but God is just commanding me to walk in love. And it's so hard to walk in love. Oh, but I'm a Christian, and I got to do what God tells me to do, or I might go to hell, or God will be displeased with me. I got to do this. That's a burden to carry. And most of us aren't able to carry it. I'll put it this way, none of us are able to carry it and being that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You don't have that peace and joy if you're carrying around burden like that. Jesus said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, it's in the last verses of Matthew 11, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A lot of people, they just taken that to, oh, get in there and work as a Christian and get under the burden. But he said, you know what a yoke is? Well, a yoke is something that joins together, two, like two oxen. So they pull together. You know what he's saying? He's saying, get in there and walk with me and learn of me. Go the same direction I am and learn of me. Now, that learn of me is a very important part, because if we don't learn of him, we're not going to find out what he's like and what he's thinking and what he knows. And we're just going to be led astray in our perceptions. We're going to be under a burden. We're going to think God's asking us for $20 instead of God's giving us an investment opportunity that if we give him $500, he's going to give us $1,000 back tomorrow. Now, I'm not talking in literal terms there when I'm using money. I'm just talking in the terms of how we perceive what God has told us to do. Maybe I shouldn't have picked money. I do believe, I don't care who preaches against it, or tries to make people feel guilt or anything. I believe what God said in the Bible concerning money. He said that if we would give, it would be given unto us. He said that he became poor that we might be rich. That means having abundance. And rich, at the very least, as far as I'm concerned, the definition of rich is that you are able to take care of everything and at least have at least some left over. That's the least definition of rich that I can plausibly accept. I do believe that if we put our money where God directs us, that it'll be good. But I'm not saying this specifically to say God promises you, give him $500 and he'll give you back $1,000 tomorrow. I am saying that in relation to the idea that if somebody offered you a deal like that, you would think this is, if you believed them, you'd think it's a good deal and you'd go for it. You'd realize it's for your benefit. That's what I'm talking about, is that you realize that what God has instructed you to do is really for your best. It's for your benefit. And so, walking in love, when he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's not because he and the Father got together before he came to earth and they're sitting around talking and they says, well, what are we going to do different here so that when we start our religion that people will realize this is different and distinctive? And, well, let's have them love one another. That'll be nice. It wasn't just something God dreamed up. It's just the truth. It's just the way things are. He's the creator. He's the one that knows how things work. And just as up and down works with gravity, so the law of love works in human existence. And it's not just limited to humans, but it works. And so God, putting the most important things where they belong, tells us as his people and the church, his children, he says, this is a commandment, folks. The commandment is this. It's very simple. You're to love as I love you. In other words, do as I do. And that's what walking in love is. It's acting like God. Walking in love is doing as God does. Most of you have an idea of what this is about. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have a listing of some things. And I'm not going to go through that today. Because you know it's there. And most of you know most of the things that it says. We need to continually remind ourselves. And we need to walk in love by faith. But we need to look into God's Word, the mirror of God's Word, and see who we are. Because it tells us in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. So on the inside of us, our heart, the real us, we are lovers. We are love children of a love God. And it is natural for us to walk in love. Now, I'm not saying that your brain and your body, that it's natural for them, because they may have been trained. It's natural just to hit them in the mouth. You know, hit now, ask questions later. Fight back and negotiate later from a position of strength. That's the way you may have been trained. That may be the rut you're in. But when you become a Christian, you're a new creation in Christ, and that inner man has the love of God in it. And it's natural for that inner person to react in love. But we have to walk in that dimension by faith. And so we can look into the perfect law of liberty. We can look into the mirror of God's Word and we can see ourselves in the Scripture. And we can say, hey, that's me right there. I'm a child of God. That's me. I am patient. I am kind. I am these things because I have that love in me. And so that makes me that way. You say, well, I sure don't think that's the way I am. That's not the way you were, but God didn't leave you the way you are. You're different on the inside. And the only way you can find out exactly what you're like is to look in the pages of this book. and find out what God has made you. And when you find it out, then you're going to act different. You're going to act different. You will act different. You need to get into there and see that. But why don't Christians walk in love? You think about it. Why don't they? We don't have to question that lots of them, lots of us, haven't walked in love lots of times. Walking in love is putting the other person's interest first. Doing unto others as you would like them to do to you. Not waiting for them to do to you, and then you'll be nice back. Why don't people do it? Why don't Christians do it? Why haven't you done it? I do think that if we see that this is the best way, that's what we're going to choose. And if we just see it as something that we have to do, it's going to be tough. But we see this is an opportunity that we can, and God has not only told us what's the best way, but He's given us, one translation of Romans 5:5 says He's given us a love transfusion. Instead of the love of God shed abroad in her heart, well, it's cotton patch. It says He's given us a love transfusion. Not only has He told us the best way to walk is the love walk, but He's given us a love transfusion so we can do it. You know, it wouldn't be too good if somebody told you, well, the best thing to do is to live underwater, down there in the bottom of the ocean. That's the best thing to do, just down there. You'd say, well, that may be nice for fish, but I'm not capable of it. I don't have gills, you see. I can't breathe down there. I couldn't last very long. And that's the way a lot of people think about the love walk. They look at it and they say, oh, yeah, that's nice, walking in love. That's good, but I can't do it. Well, the Bible says you can. You've been given that love transfusion. You can do it. You've got the ability to live underwater now. Hallelujah. Live in the water of God's love. Just let it overflow you and surround you, and you're constantly in that atmosphere because you can live in that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Let's stand.